Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free. There'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me. On to today's free podcast. Sorry, literally just as we were about to start recording, Andrew just tells me that he has just spent £127 at the dentist for his teeth.
You have to pay in advance, so people will see, see the cosmetic procedures you need to go through to remain in Celtic Underground. I would never have thought about it. She went, I think you should, because your teeth are all chipped.
See, I just pride myself in being a child of the 70s and have a whole load of... My teeth are metal from that point back, and a whole of the teeth missing. When I then tell my son stories of my dad going away and coming back with sugar cubes. Remember, you used to get like two in a wee packet if he'd stayed in some three-star hotel somewhere. He'd come back, and they were like a sweet. He would give us them, and we would literally chew sugar.
That's what I was saying to the dentist. I said to her, children of the 70s, I said, look, their parents have got sins to answer for. And she said, oh, well, maybe they didn't have the full information. I said, as they sat and smoked 40 a day, as my dad did. God rest his soul. God rest his soul. And I've got a picture of my dad, because he was a kind of new man in the sense he, no problem changing nappies, nursing children, all that. He was a baby whisperer and all that. Amazing. But I've got a picture of him, his cigarette in one hand, because he prided himself he could change a nappy with one hand while he was smoking his cigarette with the other hand. You know, with the Wayne line in your... Well, me, probably. Could send the Wayne. Me.
I remember someone saying to someone at school something about... It was a girl at school and making a comment about my dad doing the hoovering and cooking a dinner. And I always remember it being the strangest thing, because she said, and did your mum give him any training? I was like, no. I felt like saying, and even now, I feel like saying, no, he was a human with a brain.
It's like
so just normal to me. Anyway.
But it wasn't normal. I used to always say to people, my dad darned my socks and my mum took me to the football. That wasn't quite normal in the 70s.
No. It wouldn't have been. I remember watching, there used to be a programme on BBC Two, Grumpy Old Man or something like that. I remember it was Bob Geldof talking about when did the world change, that when he was growing up, parents didn't support their kids, you didn't do stuff, right? And then by the time he'd become a parent, parents had to attend everything. And when did it flip that he missed out both ways? Yeah. And when he said that, I was thinking about how I'm quite lucky. I played football from primary 5 to 6 year at school. I can remember the one game my dad didn't take me to. And he was quite unique. He would be one of 2 or 3 parents, because the biggest challenge for games would be, you know, as you're going up to some godforsaken slab of red ash concrete, mixture of red ash and concrete in Port Glasgow. Because I think it was to do with the Catholic schools in the edge of the Paisley Diocese. So you always had to play teams in that direction. And you wanted to play teams in Glasgow, because in Glasgow there was grass pitches. And if you went further south to Ayrshire, there was grass pitches. But in the middle section, sort of Paisley, Gourock, Port Glasgow, Greenock, there was no grass parks. It was red ash. As I say, in Port Glasgow and Gourock and round there, the wind had swept all the ash off. So it was basically just red stained concrete with, you know, divots in it where the puddles were.
Take the skin off, look at your knees.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, enough of that, because we've got a tight schedule to fit in 3 games. We've got 2 to review and 1 to preview. So first up, let's go to Ibrox and the 2-2 draw at Ibrox. So what's your Give us your thoughts on that.
I just couldn't believe how poor they were in the second half, and I saw no, in fairness to you, because we were texting in our Celtic Underground kind of contributors group chat, like, you never gave it up, and I more than gave it up. I gave up everything. I was willing to give up life. Like, that's at halftime. Because I thought, I just don't want to go on. Don't want to go on. This season has been so... Talk about, you know what I mean? It's like putting your emotions through a wrangle, you know? It really has been. It's and it's taking so much out of us. My boy even said to me on Sunday night, he said, Dad, I think I've aged 20 years today. You know, he's 16.
No, I said to someone at the weekend, you know, if this season was a computer, you'd just want to switch it off and switch it back on again.
Yeah.
See if it reboots better.
It was, you think, have they learned nothing? As I say, we look, Celtic, they don't seem to have a game plan. They're just hoping that the quality of their players, and it's not such a great quality anymore, we'll just see them through. It's probably a better, probably, I would imagine they've still got a better quality of squad than anybody else in Scotland, but...
Apparently, Jamestown Analytics believe that 18 of the top 20 players in Scotland are at Celtic Park.
Wow.
Their analysis.
Yeah,
but I think, but the issue is, you know, to the person who told me this, I said, yeah, but you've got, that'll be Alistair Johnston and Araujo. So you've got two people for right back. You've got,
yes,
Jota, probably Jota, Maeda, Tuneke, and maybe even Yang are within that group.
They will be.
You've
McGregor,
Oxlade, Chamberlain. You know, in terms of
trusty,
you might have Sarachi, you might have Sarachi and Kieran Tierney. The point you're making is you've got maybe even Ralston as a right back. Might even, you could imagine. Well, he's been playing for Scotland.
Do you think he would show up well in the data? The data.
He's been playing for Scotland.
Is it data or data?
I think data's American and data's
American.
British, or the other way around. Sorry, right. Data's American. Aye, one's American and one's British. I think we're data.
We data. Yeah, I like...
It's a bit like schedule and schedule.
Yeah, I go on at my wains about, my daughter goes on about schedule, and I said, Sylvie, it's schedule.
Schedule.
But schedule's it's leaving the planet. Even British people aren't saying schedule. I know we're Scottish people or whatever, but even over here, we're not saying schedule anymore. The death of schedule. My schedule died many years ago.
So, more importantly, back onto the game.
I wanted, you know, I've been hammering on here, and I still think, looking ahead to Sunday, I know we're jumping ahead, but I still think there's mileage in this 3-4-1-1-1 that I'm obsessed with. I still think he should try something different, and he didn't try anything different. I suppose he tried Adamu, didn't he? He tried, and he did. I felt for him. I mean, whether he's good enough or not,
zero.
You can't judge him
if the ball's not arriving at him.
No, it's like, I know you've said, and I know you defended but what you're finding out here with this transfer window of loanees, nothing against the fellas, but what you find is you're not picking up people in form, because people in form don't tend to leave their clubs mid-season. If you're in good form, good scoring form especially, if you think about it, with the last player that Celtic signed, the last two players Celtic signed in the January window, strikers from my memory, was Maeda, who was got the golden boot for Japan, didn't he? Because he was a joint top scorer in Japan. Lee Griffiths had scored something like 15 or 17 goals for Wolves. He just couldn't settle down at Wolves.
But the issue with Maeda, that was the end of their season, more or less.
I know.
So we weren't going to get him mid-season?
No. See, that's why, I don't know if we talked about this, why didn't they go to completed championships? Why did they not just troll the summer leagues? Because that's what you get more chance of picking up someone who's in form. Because their club will let them go because clubs renew themselves close seasons. That's what I want to know. These guys are trying to play their way into form, and it's just not really happening for them. Especially.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll get on to...
I see Johnny Kenny. Do you see his goal and his assist in Bolton's 5-1 win the other day?
No, I didn't.
See, if you were watching, you go, whoa. Look, sometimes the jersey's too heavy.
Yeah. So
You always say that.
You can see players, and I mean, how many times have we seen it? It's like people's obsession with the guy at Motherwell, the right wing guy at Motherwell. He's scoring goals for Motherwell. Aye. How many people have we signed who are scoring goals at a lesser club than Celtic? Look at Stephen Welsh. You speak to a Motherwell fan, they will tell you Stephen Welsh is like Franz Beckenbauer in their team.
I'm shocked at that, because see, when he come back and see the only two appearances he's made, I thought, no, he's not as good as Dane Murray, for me.
Well, but that's the thing, because there is such a gulf in the way teams play Celtic compared to the way teams play Motherwell. So, and then there's the weight of the jersey, and there's so many factors that come into it that just basic data doesn't show up. But I mean, the first half at Ibrox was just abysmal. What kept me going was mainly two things. Firstly, a mate of mine who's a Rangers fan, who's all season been texting me saying how awful they are in the second half of games. So that kept me going.
Yeah, they threw everything at it.
Under Ange, particularly in the first season under Ange, how many times were we out on our feet after 55 minutes, 60 minutes in a game of going at a million miles an hour? You know, Real Madrid famously, we outplayed them for 60 minutes and then they scored three goals at Celtic Park.
Yeah, but it was just, Ross did a great explanation of it on the chat about, you could tell the Rangers had pinpointed, just play everything down Celtic's right. So they're playing everything down Celtic, and Araujo had his poorest.
But to be fair, they were tripling up on him.
They were tripling up. You know, it reminded me of the game that ended Barry Smith's career, where Walter Smith, it was the Hampden season, and it was three. And it was, they had down Barry Smith's side, they put on their left side, because it was our Celtic's right, it was like they had Davy Robertson, Hustra, and Loudrup. And it was Barry Smith with Paul Byrne in front of him. Paul Byrne tracking. What do you mean tracking? What do you mean I need to move? And it was like, that kind of reminded me, it's like everything, like Moore, like it was, everything was going down the right, and Araujo was found wanting. And I mean, I know people go on about the second goal with the Dane Murray, the swipe. And we have seen him do that too often. I can think of at least three instances where that rashness takes over, you know. Like, although his second half performance, he won everything there. I think he won something like 15 or 17.
17 out of 20 headers.
Was it 17 out of 20 headers? But that first goal, McGregor playing it back to Araujo, I know it. Then it's a great overhead kick and all that, but where it comes from, it's like, what were they doing in that corner? Just the decision making is just. When it goes now. Celtic are so fragile.
I said to you.
And then
you saw
it flip around. Rangers' decision making was bloody awful, because if you look at Celtic's the Tierney header, three times Celtic win that ball back because Rangers are just passing it back to them, and McGregor keeps it going. He keeps circulating. He keeps it moving. Before the flip the ball into, it was Negrin, wasn't it? Yeah. The old enigma.
And actually, I think the Rangers game is a really good example of what's wrong in social media in terms of people putting an instant response. Because that's one of, the game on Sunday is one of those ones where during the game, if people look back at message groups that they're in.
Yes.
It'll have been, this is horrendous, right? And then if you look back at that game, although it felt horrendous because it was just wave on top of us, if you then actually look back on the game to clear-cut or even half-decent chances to score, the only team that should have won that game is us.
Yeah, do you mean across the whole 90 minutes? But
across the whole 90 minutes.
50-odd minutes before it was the Patate shot. That was Celtic's first effort on target, wasn't it?
It was, but my point is, although they had all this pressure, when you actually then consider who might have won that game.
Yeah, they only had four. I think they had four shots on target, four efforts on targets.
Because I don't know if Sinisalo had any saves in the second half at all.
No, I don't think he did. They were gone. Another 5 minutes, Celtic would have won that. Although, it has to be said, once Celtic did equalise, it was if they thought, they just kind of...
We've climbed that mountain.
They exhaled, didn't they?
But before that, there was two chances that you just think. There was the one, Luke McCowan. Actually, by chance, I think it was today. Was it today or yesterday? I saw somebody putting on Twitter at Kenny Dalglish's birthday.
Yes.
And there was a clip from... It was a ball, it's a Liverpool game, and he plays this ball through, and Phil Neal, I think it is, takes it, and as he receives it, it's very similar to the position that Luke McCowan's in when he receives it. But Luke McCowan lets that ball go across him, then takes another touch, and then opens his body out to be able to hit it with the left foot.
Yeah, Phil Neal doesn't try and lift it. Didn't
as that ball comes in, Phil Neal takes it with his right, moves it over to the left, so it's onto his left-hand side, and then hits it into the corner. And you think, that's the difference between that quality of player and that quality of player. McCowan needs it to come across. He needs to open his body up. He needs to hit it. Phil Neal, it's all just this one movement of flicking it back across. But it's the same angle of the ball coming in. He's making the same run as Luke McCowan.
Although, think about his finish in Stuttgart.
Yeah.
That was a one-touch finish, was it not?
And then there was Tonecki also. I think it was Tonecki had a chance.
Yeah.
Coming in the left-hand side. He again takes an extra couple. And you just think, just hit it. Just that ball come in. Just hit it. Straight off.
See, when he was taken out by Suter, have you seen those stills? Mm-hmm. And you think, hold on a minute. Why was that? The way that they've been dishing out these obvious goal-scoring opportunity red cards, you know? That was because Fernandes wasn't getting across to cover. He was through in goal. I mean, he was in control of the ball more than, you know, our famous instance with trusting such like, but he was in control of the ball, and you thought, yeah, that probably should have been a red card for denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity.
And that's the thing, when you see stuff online, and sometimes someone will then come in and talk about bias. For me, for some of the stuff, and we'll get on to the Aberdeen game in a minute, it's not that I'm thinking, personally, that should be a penalty. It is, based on the way the decisions are now appear to be getting made in the interpretation of the rules, I think that decision should be the case.
I genuinely cannot believe that people are trying to create some kind of confected controversy over this Sterling handball penalty. It's like, because you thought, what are they looking for? Because nobody could see it on the telly. I don't know about you, but we're going, what's happened here? What could it be? And then they show you one angle, you still can't really see it. And then they show you the side angle, you go, oh, yes!
As soon as they show the side angle, you think, that's a penalty. Yes. And you still get people talking about the intent and stuff like that. No. The rules are fairly straightforward now. For me, in this regard, are your hands out from your body? And the other option, particularly in the Sterling one, was if it hadn't hit your hand, where's it going?
No.
I mean, I do think in some of these, like, again, we'll talk about the Aberdeen one in a minute. I do think in some of them, the step to a penalty is a really harsh step up when penalties have, unless Celtic are taking them, when penalties have, whatever it is, an 82% chance of being scored. In modern football, I do think some of the fouls they're giving to move it to a situation where somebody's got an 82% chance of a goal is it's a bit like, it's a bit like if you're doing 33 miles an hour in a 30 zone and that immediately gets you banned from, gets you 9 points to your license. You'd be like, oh, well, I've already got 3. Oh, well, that's you banned. Tough luck. It's a bit harsh. I went to 33. I wasn't doing 70.
It's a cliff edge, and I don't know what the thresholds are anymore. Sorry, I know we're going to jump in about, but if you think about the penalty that Aberdeen received, and you think, did he even touch? I'm still not convinced how much he touched him. It was just, he went down because he felt a touch. It was one of those penalties. And then you think, Sterling's holding Tonecki, that one he was trying to carve his way into the box, he's holding his jersey for 9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where are the thresholds for holding now? That's, people talk about they don't understand the handball rule. I don't understand the pulling rules now.
I don't understand some of the pulling rules and some of the pushing over rules, where sometimes it's not and sometimes it is. You know, it's like, again, somebody showing the Diamondi chopping. And I'm thinking, right, well, I get why you might know, but I get why somebody's saying, well, tell me how that's different to the trusty one.
Yeah. And the scales one when he's getting pulled in the first half at the corner.
Yeah.
Why is that not a penalty?
Do you know, that's exactly the type of thing that I reckon if we were playing Real Madrid at Celtic Park in a Champions League game, 999 times out of 1,000, you would just see VAR checking and that would be a penalty.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the World Cup's like. Terms of, 'cause they sometimes have a higher threshold for certain things, and then other things they find. Do you remember the one the Portuguese? He was just leaning on the. He was holding him up or whatever. You know, he's a supporting arm, and they gave a penalty for it. What was it? It was for Portugal, but you think, where do they get that from? In other ways, they have a higher threshold in certain things. I mean, if you watch Dermot Gallagher, the ex-referee, he always comes on a Monday and says about Scotland and handball. He said the one thing is they are consistent because they practically give everything. Because he said there wasn't any dubiety over that at all. The Sterling thing. He said that is a penalty in Scotland. He says, because they're quite clear. They're quite clear and consistent. And they are probably clear and consistent. But they've just decided, I'll just shove everything in it. Like, not in that instance, but I think there's far too many handball penalties.
I mean, that to me is his header's gonna.
But that one, it was the
His
clearest.
header's
That's
going
like
in. His header's going in.
that's top.
If it
That's
doesn't hit his hand.
top rate.
I mean, you know, people then said, oh, he's denied a clear goal scoring opportunity, so should he have got red card? The only thing, I mean, my only gut feel about that is, yeah, but there was a, you know, was, that I think would be a bit harsh because intent. But then as somebody else, I read somebody else then saying, well, he just spread his body as large as he could. I mean, that's what he was doing. He jumped up and spread and made himself big, bigger than normal.
Yeah, although that's the in the art of. Have you seen the full picture? Maeda heading it, and his arm, right? So obviously, to his arm is a way up. Sorry, you can't really see that, but his arm's a way up like that. His arm's almost at right angles to his body, and that's because of the action at the header. We don't. I had this out with the referees when we went to these briefings and all that. So the biomechanics of quite another. You know, do you ever consider the whole biomechanics? I don't think they do.
No,
They
but I
claimed he
suppose
did.
no, because you can, because it's because anybody do it, if you go to jump, if you go to do additional exerting yourself, you will move parts of your limbs. I suppose the other way of looking at it is, yeah, but it becomes really difficult if you don't have the, we've just decided if it hits an arm and it's out with the standard frame of your body, we're going to give a penalty. Is more straightforward than, well, if we think that that's in the normal scheme of the body, then it becomes much more subjective. I suppose there is an argument of going down more fact, it is closer to factual if you just decide if you are out of a standard silhouette of your body, we are going to give a penalty.
Does that not mean people are trying to be defenders should or get to this stage where they're trying to head the ball? You know, like you're getting fired out of a cannon. You know, the towels.
But to some extent they are. To some extent they are. But then I suppose it's again it's that thing of, well, if it's equal for everybody, there's as much chance of Rangers getting a penalty for the same thing as there is a Celtic getting a penalty. There's as much chance of Maeda hitting his arm because he throws his arms up in the air going for the header and a free kick against. As there is there for a header for? You know, everybody's playing under the same rules, a bit like Kilmarnock complaining about injury time. There's no law that says only Celtic can score and can attack in injury time. You could have done it too, you know?
Did you see there was some claim that Arsenal took 30 minutes between like restarts last night? Was it in their game?
In terms of time that they took out of the game?
Killing the time they were killing out, they're taking out the game. Arsenal have become the real kind of cynics of modern football, haven't they?
Yeah.
Wonder
But
where
then
Arteta learned all that.
I quite like the idea of the countdown clock on goal kicks and throw-ins. I've said it for ages. As long as it's not like we have for the when they're counting for the ref, for the goalkeeper holding the ball at the moment, and the referee's like the World of Sport guy going one, two,
Hello.
and like five and a half, five and three quarters. You know, as long as it's a proper, you've got that settings. You know, because as I say, I mean, only because Livingston, I've seen them do it at Celtic Park.
No,
Before,
fair
last
enough.
time they came, I from the very first time they got a goal kick, I timed it, and every single time, and not from the ball going off the pitch, from the goalkeeper having a ball in his hands,
Yeah,
I
but
would time it.
why can the referee not just be doing this and show us that he's doing
But
this?
have the, do you know what? Why can't the fourth official just have control over the big scoreboard and just press a button and the clock starts? I mean,
Yeah.
basketball do that sort of principle. I really don't understand why you can't just I've started the clock. And the same when they bring in this thing for goal kicks and throw-ins, you're only allowed a certain amount of time, as I say. Because I even noticed when there was a couple of times when I thought, oh, looks like it'll only be a sort of 20 to 25 second stoppage here for this goal kick. And then he would just stand staring. And I thought, you're watching the clock. So that every one of their goal kicks, because I timed them all until the referee then signalled. So it was something like 9 happened before the referee signalled to the guy. Every single one I timed took exactly 30 seconds. So that no matter how long the keeper had, so he was watching our clock and thinking, I'll take it. So there was four and a half minutes just on goal kicks that they took out. And then there was another 2 or 3 that were 20 seconds, because I know it's a sad man thing to do, but it's just because I've seen them do it before.
No. It's don't watch Arsenal anytime soon. That's all I'm telling you then. You'll never survive the experience. So, I mean, it was Hitachi. I mean, it's all been said, hasn't it? Like, Hitachi changed everything.
Yeah.
He did change everything.
The old, because it was the old Hitachi.
You seen him smile, even last night, the smile's back. I don't know I suppose he's thinking, I've only got 10 more weeks.
And then I'm off. Maybe.
Yeah, and he's thinking, why can I, you know, let's be happy a bit, like, you know, let's end in a right.
Yeah, let's enjoy the rest of this.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, no accident at McGregor the second half, and then McGregor, I thought again last night in the Aberdeen game, McGregor's coming back to it. McGregor's coming back to it. These are my signs of hope. Even though I said last night that watching Celtic try to win this title is like watching a guy trying to scale Everest and his budgie smugglers and flippers. Where did you find that? Did you just AI that?
It's just AI. I'll need to put that up for people.
Yeah.
So I just said for people listening, Andrew said in our WhatsApp chat what you just said there. So I went to AI and I said, do a video of a guy wearing green and white budgie smugglers climbing Mount Everest in a pair of flippers. So I then made a video, which I then sent to Andrew, and I said, well, it's possible.
Yeah. That's my worry about the goals. You know, like, what is it? Are they 59 goals shy of what Celtic scored last season.
Yeah, but right back at the beginning of the season on our Substack, I wrote a piece about in the 18 months prior to the start of the season, we had sold 100 goals out of the team and replaced it with guys who in the season, like, so this was in the season before these players had left, you know, Matt O'Reilly, Kuhn, Kyogo, Ida, whoever else. In the last season that they were with Celtic, the total number of goals that they'd scored was 100. And then the season before they joined Celtic, the total number of goals of their replacement was something like 25. So we sold 100 goals and bought 25. So it's then no surprise.
But the guy who scored 33 goals doesn't look as if...
Couldn't he hit a bando over
another one?
With a banjo. I mean, awful. So to cap off... To cap off the Rangers game, the one thing I'm going to ask you, I saw people online talking about how the substitutions that he did make were not, you know, look how shite the January window was. In a single game context, I am prepared to go for a tactical reason. He may perceive that Maeda's a better bet through the middle than, and I've been practicing, Shivanchira. I went back and watched his video, Shivanchira. I can get that in a single game instance, that's not a criticism to hit the club over the head with. In a one game instance, the manager's decided for tactical reasons a player's better than somebody else. But I actually think, I don't know if, in terms of league title stuff, I actually thought them not winning was a hammer blow to them.
Oh, you could tell it was. It's like Celtic right now for the other title challengers are the men they couldn't hang, really, aren't they? Because Hearts had that chance against a 10-man Celtic. They couldn't win that game and really snuff out. I'm still beeling about that Hibs game. There was no reason to lose that Hibs game. They were decent. Celtic's, apart from that first half at Ibrox, I think generally I can see more signs that the guile, there's a little bit of guile back. There's a little bit more adventure back in the play. They just can't sustain it. That's my issue. They can't sustain it, and they can't find the cutting edge to go along.
So move on to the Aberdeen game last night, and first 15-20 minutes, we looked really good. I felt.
Yeah, you even saw the one touch passing and all
movement,
that.
People happy to move out of position, and then Aberdeen just moved closer to our players, just a wee bit closing down. And it was as if the confidence just went like that out of our team. I felt Hatate disappeared.
Yeah.
For a period.
And Chavan Chara, I think he's a player that needs to play alongside someone. I'd like to see, actually, him and Maeda together. That's part of my 3-4-1-1-1. And so it's Negrin, then Maeda buzzing around off Chavan Chara. That's what
he doesn't
play.
Make, as I said last night on our chat, he doesn't make goal scorer runs. So he's there and we're playing him up to him, like we play up to something or Hartson. But he then, like, Hartson would take that in, lay it off to someone, spin, and even, you know, the big guy he was towards the end, he would spin and run to a goal scoring position. There was a couple of times in the first half in particular last night where the ball's played up to Chavan Chara. And he's then laying it off to whoever, who plays it to Tierney, who plays it to Tanetke, who's running down, looks up. And there's nobody there to play it to. Which forces him to then cut back inside. Aberdeen then get behind the ball. We're then having to do that, passing across in front of him. Because Chavan Chara's just taken it, laid it off. And then he's had a light jog in the general direction of the box. He's not turned and sprinted to a goal-scoring position.
And he doesn't. Can you see how well that Negrin makes space for himself in and around the box? He finds these pockets of space. Actually, Chavan Chara just seems to find traffic. He seems to be behind players. Like so there's no ball you can flash across the face of goal because he's not going to gamble. He's not going to make the
half. Because he doesn't make goal-scorers runs. He's not making the run that a goal scorer would naturally go to make.
I don't think he's a. I don't think he's a terrible player or anything.
No, I don't. Your 3-4-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1 system. I would go for a more straightforward 4-4-2. I would, because one of our challenges this season has been midfield. I would sacrifice one of our wide men, play an extra midfielder. And play either Negrin off Chavan Chara or Maeda off Chavan Chara. And I would play a midfield three of, I've said before, in an ideal world, I'd have Engels, McGregor and Oxlade-Chamberlain as the three. Play one wide guy, probably Tanetke, wide. And then you're relying on Araujo and say to Tierney to be much bit more defensive to protect. And just say to Araujo to be like old-fashioned fullbacks of the 80s. Your job is to up and down and up and down.
Yeah, well, that's where my 3-4-1-1-1 comes in, because my three, especially if we think, doesn't he sound good about Tierney being available for Sunday?
Yeah, it looks like he's possible broken foot.
Yeah, broken bone in his foot. So how long is that going to keep him out?
A month.
So even more, you wouldn't even need, because there would have been an issue about who you dropped or whatever, but you still got the players to play this system that I'm going to suggest. So you'd play Arthur on the right, you play Trusty in the middle, Scales in the left of three. Trusty in the Scales in the left of three is not bad. And then in front of them you've got Araujo. I don't know if you're going to play Oxlade-Chamberlain now, are you? Because it's got to be Hatate, McGregor, and then Zirachi. And then in front of them you've got Negrin, and then you've got Maeda just playing off a free role, playing off Chavan Chara.
I don't think we would ever go to back three this season after Nancy.
But when you think about, like, it was his bread and butter. It was Martin O'Neill's bread and butter for 2.5, 3 seasons at Celtic.
Then he chucked it, and he's never played it since. For any team that he's managed since.
Is he no? Well, I mean, he's, like, it's worth...
Also, is Sean Maloney picking the team anyway, so... Is Sean Maloney doing all that side of things? I mean, I think Martin has input, but it would be Sean Maloney picking, doing that. So Maloney's not going to do that.
I was going to get the bus down in Celtic Park, actually, see if I could see wee Sean and say to him, why are you not trying this?
See, so Celtic Rangers game, just a synopsis, covered it off. Game of two halves. The proverbial game of two halves. It couldn't have been more. The Aberdeen game. There's a lot of things that I was watching about that, and I was thinking, yeah, that's what I think that way. One of the things is I think our players have had a footballing lobotomy and have taken the part of the brain that tells them how to make decent decisions at different times in the game has been removed. And it was clear watching Martin O'Neill in the last 30 seconds that he felt the same thing.
Just quittery
of the large, of the highest order in some of the decision making we made.
Yeah.
A minute less than 45 seconds of the game, a guy right at the edge of the box, and Hatate decides to do a sliding tackle and fortunately misses. I mean,
well, no. See if that guy, I saw that leaving said that afterwards. He said we should be a bit more streetwise. He should have gone down. The guy didn't go down. See if he'd gone down, that was probably a penalty.
It would have been. I mean, honestly, idiocy. I couldn't believe what we were doing. Some of the decisions we were making in the last. There was a throw in we took in the last minute, and Nikkanen decides to let it go across him. And as soon as I can see it, I thought, right. So you're not going to catch it because you're as slow as me running after a bus that's about to leave a bus stop. That ball's going out of the pitch. How come I know that and you don't? You're a professional footballer earning tens of thousands of pounds a week. I know that's going to skip off the surface and you do not have the pace to get it. That's what happens.
Yeah,
we throw it out for a goal kick and it's like 2 minutes to go. There was another one where Sarachi decides to do something and go for it and, oh, ball goes out for a goal kick. For an injury time, you know, and Kobe Donovan did a couple of things, and you're like, you're a fucking defender in injury time.
No, but it's
just
like,
stay back.
They don't trust themselves anymore.
No, that's the thing.
They don't trust themselves. Four managerial periods, seven league defeats. You know, couldn't they get it over the line against like a team with a fraction of resources and Champions League, they don't trust themselves anymore. As I said to somebody the other day, this Celtic team are reliably unreliable.
So on the penalty, first of all, the first one, the Aberdeen penalty, Scales, you mentioned it. You think Scales was just stupid, utterly stupid. I think it was a stupid thing that he's doing. It's just and I realised part of my prejudice against Scales watching him in the game, his body movements are not those of a professional football, are not those of a, in general, of a professional footballer. Therefore, my whole thing of, I will not believe that we've properly supported a manager and done the right thing in a transfer window. No harm to the lad. He's not picking himself. But I will not believe that we've done the right thing by this squad until Liam Scales is behind fourth choice as a Celtic centre-half. In my view, he's just not the standard that we should have. I hear people defending it and I think, actually, what you've done is lowered your standards to accept that.
Yeah, I saw him described today as the poster boy of Celtic's downsizing.
Yes, but I'm watching the game, I'm accepting that part of my prejudice towards that is, it's a bit like, do you remember the Watford goalkeeper around about 1980-81? He was a big, tall, gangly guy, you know, when John Barnes was in the Watford team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never liked, so at the time, I'm just starting to be a goalkeeper as a boy. I never liked him as a goalkeeper. And it's just because he didn't look like a goalkeeper. His body, he was tall and big, but he just looked big and gangly. What he looked like to me was, I was a bit shorter. And occasionally, I'd be playing for a team and someone would say, oh, my mate can play in goals, who was a tall lad. And he'd maybe get a game and I'd be watching him thinking, even at a young age, you would go, I know who you are. You're the guy who can't play anywhere on the pitch.
Mm.
And because you're tall, your mates stick you in goals. But you're actually utterly useless and frightened of the football. And you would play one game, a bit like, you know, there was a range of players like this in the 70s who would maybe play for a team for one game and you would never see them again. And that's who the guy reminded me of. And I realised my issue with Liam Scales is as much to do his body movements are not those of a professional.
His biomechanics are
footballer. Yeah. Therefore, he looks ungainly and he looks clumsy and he looks awkward. Sort of sometimes when something happens in a game, you know, like cartoon characters, when it takes them 2 seconds and then their feet are running on the spot for a minute as their body's all over the place when they suddenly have to turn the corner when they're chasing someone. That's his sort of biomechanics. He looks like
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
He runs like Jar Jar Binks.
So I realise that part of my prejudice is you just don't behave and move like a professional athlete. So I realise, you know, so therefore it's that.
It was clumsy. Yeah, I think you said last night in the chat, it was clumsy. It was unnecessary. I don't know why you would. Why are you going through with that action? Why are you going through with that action?
You know, our goal.
You need to get tight.
Our goal.
I mean, but that was really acrobatic from him.
The first one. Yeah, the first goal, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah, but even then, there's an awkwardness to the way to his acrobat. It's not like the guy scores the goal for Rangers or McTominay. There's a grace to their acrobatic moves. He's like a guy who's, you know, trying to save five spinning plates from falling to the floor in the way that he's moving to do that acrobatic move.
But it was pretty acrobatic, in fairness to them. And Celtic's goal, I thought it was offside at the time. Celtic's winner, sorry. Thought it was offside at the time, but as soon as they showed it, yep.
Initially, I thought, I wonder if they won't be able to overturn this because you couldn't accurately determine, none of the angles were allowing you to accurately determine when the ball had left James Forrest's foot. So if the guy on the field doesn't give it and you can't, because none of them, the Aberdeen players in the way for every single one, you cannot definitively say that's when he left his boot. So I was actually thinking we may get this just by default because he can't determine it.
It's like as our old friend, umpire's call, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And then the other sort of controversy in that game was that you and I have got a different opinion on this, the penalty or non-penalty to Celtic.
Yeah, the Milne one, the Milne handball.
So what's your position?
I think his arm is within, we're talking about silhouettes. I think his arm was within the kind of the natural silhouette. Now, it's a bit further out for his body. He's no gluing his arms to his side, but I still think his arms are in a natural position.
I think it's in a natural position, but getting back to what I said earlier about the handballs they have been giving in Scotland and Dermot Gallagher's point about them being fairly consistent, my point would be it hit his arm. It's not right by his side. It's not like inside his silhouette, which seems to be have been the standard. If it hadn't hit his arm, which was slightly out from his body, it's flashing across the six-yard box.
Yeah, well, I did see someone saying that his arm is closer to his body, and then when the ball comes towards his body, then his arm goes further out.
It does.
I couldn't verify that, but I looked at it, but I mean, it's all slowed down. But again, the biomechanics, your arm shape, it does move because when you're moving.
Of course it
does.
It does. Slightly.
You don't keep your arms exactly at the same.
Yeah. If you saw a guy out jogging tonight and he was running with these arms, you'd be like, you'd be in the car saying to your son, look at that weirdo, look at the way he's running.
So, yeah, I don't like, you know, again, maybe this is my personal kind of prejudice. I would hate to see that given against my team, so.
So would I, but the reason
Whereas,
I think,
see, the Sterling one, I would go, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, but that's the, but my point is, the reason I think it's a penalty is based on the way that Scottish referees appear, in my view, to have been interpreting the handball rule. That it's basically, unless your arms
are
right by your side, it's out of it.
Dermot Gallagher's probably surprised they didn't give that one. If he ever.
And it's also, I also think you then have to take a view of, whilst it might not be intentional, if it hadn't hit his arm, where would that ball got to? I think that has to be a consideration. If it hadn't hit his arm, where would it have got to? It would have gone right across the six-yard box into a potential goal-scoring position.
Yeah. Is he denying an obvious goal?
You know, he's not. No. He's
no,
not.
But I'm just like,
but he's denying the ball getting to the key area. I'm sure in all XG analysis, any ball inside the six-yard box, sent, you know, between the posts, hitting anybody will have an XG above half. Probably.
Yeah, I don't think Celtic should be relying on that. I mean, what is it now? I've worked it out. Is it the last eight games they've only won by more than a single goal?
And the thing is, last night you're thinking,
the Mick McCarthy, this can't go on. It can.
What? You're last night you're thinking, great, we're playing well. We finally scored early. Just keep playing like this and you'll get a second and a third. But again, in all games, it's almost as if in every game, when we get to a position of scoring, either to take the lead or to get level after we've been behind, it's almost like, oh, thank God we've done that. Let's just revert back to the safe stuff, because we've been having to work outside our comfort zone for a while here.
Yeah, it's a team that just doesn't trust itself and isn't trusting, with good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to happen on Sunday? I have no idea.
So yeah, let's get to Sunday. What do you think is going to happen?
I've been thinking, I think Celtic will be okay on Sunday. I think they'll do it now. I think, what am I basing that on? Well, the second half, I do think they're still a better footballing team than Rangers. I do think Celtic will have learned more about Rangers than Rangers maybe learned about Celtic from last Sunday.
Do you know what I think our biggest dilemma for the manager is? Tonecki comes on as a sub in a game and looks brilliant. So he starts the next game and looks at bang average. Negan comes on as a sub in a game and looks great and gets involved. Starts the game in an empty jersey unless he scores a goal. Too many players who, when they come on as a sub, make him think he's got to play them the next game. And then when they start a game, are not doing anything.
He's got a great bench. The problem is he doesn't have a great team.
Maybe we should apply to the league. Can we just start every game? Make the opposition run around for 45 minutes. We'll give them a goal. You can have a goal. We'll come on after 45 minutes when you've run around a bit. You've tired. Like McCowan. McCowan looks great in the European game.
Yep. He just faded right out at last. He just didn't take his chance. Now they've given up on Bernardo entirely because whenever he started games, just hasn't taken a chance.
And I mean,
what does he do on Sunday? For me, he has to play Maeda through the middle. I don't care if he's... Because Maeda does give defenders something to think about. They drop even deeper. You even saw that with the Rangers, the kind of central defenders. And you saw it last night, even with the Aberdeen guys. He puts doubt.
And so that's where and that's where my formation that I talked about the 4-4-2 kicks in of... That then creates the space that you talked about Negrin moving into.
Yes.
Because he's doing, and that creates the space. But the problem is, you can't play with a two-man midfield. You know, if you play Negrin, he's an empty jersey when he doesn't score, you know, in between a goal. And if you then play Maeda, who's not scoring, but he's making the move around, you basically, on her description, there's two players playing to take account of their space. Well, that then leaving McGregor and one other, we've got a two-man midfield. You can't have a two-man midfield against Rangers. We need to have at least three operating midfielders.
Yeah. As you say, sacrifice your width because you're not getting an awful lot out your width anyway. Sacrifice your width for central areas and then tell your fullbacks to kind of almost invert to even strengthen that midfield more.
So what do you think the team's going to be on Sunday? Because obviously Trusty can play.
Trusty will play. It'll be Trusty in scales. It'll be... Arojo.
My doctor sent a letter to Celtic to say, I'm sorry, my patient cannot cope with the remainder of the season, you having a pairing of Trusty and Scales, particularly in big games if they decide to play it, if Celtic are leading by a goal and they decide to play it about the back.
But Trusty, it'll be very similar to last Sunday, I'm sure. Well, with the exception of he'll play Maeda through the middle. I'm pretty sure he will play Maeda through the middle. He'll have to play Negrin. He'll really have to play Negrin because he's been 19 goals, such a goal source. But he'll play Hatate, he'll start with Hatate. He'll think it's different from last week, and this is the combination that gave Rangers a lot more to think about. So it'll be McGregor and Hatate. And he'll need to give, although they were really disappointing last night, it'll be Yang and Tonek.
Again, I suppose the only thing that, again, it's not really worked, but maybe if you just give him a wee bit different, is you could play Negrin instead of Yang, but tell Negrin he's not playing as a winger, he just can drift in as he likes to do.
Did I not try that earlier in the season?
Aye, didn't he, Mark?
See, that's,
I mean, basically everything that we're talking about hasn't worked because we've got players that are not good enough quality and or not functioning properly.
But they should be, but they're better quality than the players they're playing. That's what's still annoying me.
Following last night, out of, is it, how many points has Martin played for?
Well, 17 now, isn't it? Has he been in charge for 17 league games? No, 17 games all in. So I don't know how many of them are league.
Say it's 15 games, that'd be 40. I think it's 15 games, 45 points. He's dropped seven. He's dropped Drew with Hearts. Yeah, dropped seven. Drew with Hearts.
Drew
lost to Hibs. And drawn with Rangers. So he's drawn with Rangers, drawn with Hearts, and lost to Hibs. So he's dropped seven out of 45, so he's won 38. So to be fair, you know, that is...
That's a scunner, that Hibs defeat as a scunner. That's
He's
really
won
rubbish.
12 out of the, is that, would that be right? 12 out of the 15 games he's won.
Yeah. Did you see last night, if he hadn't won last night, it would have been the first time as a Celtic manager he would have gone three consecutive league games without a win.
Yeah. But we did win. And we
exactly.
Haven't.
Exactly.
So, what's your prediction for the game on Sunday?
I think Celtic, I'm going to go for a 2-1 Celtic. Yeah.
Scoring in the 90, whatever minute, 90-something minute.
With a handball red card offside goal, penalty goal, an offside penalty goal. See that when they were trying to say that, hey, how can Atati hit it a third time? Because the ball's just in play. It's a kick from the penalty.
Unless it hit the post.
Does it go dead hitting the post?
No, it's a direct free kick. A penalty is a direct free kick. So if the keeper doesn't save it and it hits the post, the taker of the penalty cannot hit the rebound.
Right.
Because
right,
he'll have double touched it. No other human will have touched the ball since he took the direct free kick.
Right, but other players could touch it.
Other players are available. I mean, that's the thing. Somebody, you know, St. Anthony saying on one of the videos about the Rangers fans not celebrating. I think when you see it behind the goal, as soon as he saves it, you see Hatate coming in, you think he's going to score it. Then he saves it again, and the split second that he saves it again, you know that either Maeda or Hatate are putting that ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going for two. Well, what, do you ever give a prediction? Is it only ever me that has to?
2-0 Celtic. Always. Always when Celtic play Rangers.
2-0 Celtic. Celtic winning by two clear goals.
It's always 2-0 Celtic. Unless
crazy?
back in Martin and Brendan Rodgers' first term, I would be going for. I always remember, so very quickly, I went on Radio Scotland. They had a fan thing going round, and for Rangers' first game back in the Premier League, or first game in the Premier League, I should say, under Warburton, and they were going round, and you know they were all talking about how difficult it was going to be for Celtic, and it was I'd heard an interview at the end of the previous season with a player. An ex-player who dropped, you know, a player who just retired, he dropped down to the Championship and it was talking about Rangers and how good they were. And the guy said, but they will find it difficult in the Premier League because there is a gulf in speed between the two leagues. And it takes a while for you to get up to that speed. You might be playing well and playing at a decent speed, but there is just a difference. So that was sticking in my head. And they went around the table. And the day before, I'd heard the odds on Celtic winning 4-1. You know, we won 5-1. On Celtic winning 4-1. And they're going around the table and the Rangers fans are, you can tell they're trying to be polite because they don't want to say they think they'll win. So they're saying, I think it may be one each. It's a Celtic Park. I think it may be one each. And they come round to me and I said, well, I think a really good value bet is I saw the odds and it was like 16-1 or something. I saw the odds on Celtic winning 4-1. I bet I was 16-1. So I think that'd be a really good bet because I think that's what the scoreline will be. And it was like, how ridiculous. But I genuinely thought we would win by 4. And obviously Dembele comes in for Griffiths and we're all like, Griffiths is out and Dembele scores. So yeah, at the moment, 2-0 Celtic. Maybe 3-1 because our defence isn't great.
Oh, I hope so. These next two games, I know we've kept saying it, but if Celtic could get through these next two games, I think really there are possibilities for a double or back on. Celtic can win it in Sunday. And of course, you can win in penalties. You know, we don't want that. But if they win on Sunday and they beat Motherwell next Saturday, I think it's all back on.
And don't forget the free broom loan stand is.
Yeah. My boy's been at me, but I haven't been able to scout out a ticket at all. He's begging me, but I've tried everybody. That I need to be just in our front. This living room has seen such it's seen such euphoria, such. Despair and euphoria all within minutes of one another this season. It's been quite a...
One of my more recent favourite games at Ibrox was one of the things Brendan Rodgers did was when you went down to 10 men, he would put a second striker on.
He brought Edward.
And I always remember Edward's coming through and he's coming. And the guy next to me says, he's just going to jink inside and then curl this into the corner. Kits and dang goal. Brilliant magic.
That was the last free broom loan, was it not?
So, anyway.
Yeah.
We all need to be getting going.
As always.
Yes, you too. Hail,
put up that video for people. I'm shocked. Modern technology. What? A phone? You can phone people? I think it was 150 years old this week, wasn't it? Alexander Graham Bell, the phone.
Yeah, and you can now send written words through the spoken telephone. It's crazy.
What is this? Gee, magic.
Right, cheers.
Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to the CelticUnderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.